They've got hiring freezes. They've got pay caps. They have all these other things. They're just not going to be able to attract the talent to come in and try to do this stuff in-house. They'll make feints at it from now and then, trying to do this here or there. But at the end of the day, when they need solutions, they're going to look to the private sector because that's basically where the solutions are. So if you're in that spot, if that's the kind of work you do, I think there's going to be plenty of opportunity, particularly in cost cutting, because government's going to have to provide more with less. We would fight on the House floor over a few million dollars where if you just redesign your business process, you could save five, six times as much. And there is going to be, I think, an effort to do some of that. And they're going to look at different contractual vehicles, I think, in the future. We need to remember that the federal government, state governments made decisions a generation ago to outsource their R&D, and they're still going to need that. And that budget challenges are going to continue to drive them to new technologies, to new operations models, to more business process reviews. They've got to continue in that vein. I think at the end of the day, as you look at the appropriation cycles, and I'm not looking toward this year's CR, looking toward next year, with you not getting into the weeds as much as giving agencies just less and saying manage it. That, in a sense, almost drives them to find savings within, and that means going to IT. It means doing some of these other things. Now, we have divided government. Oh, man, we got divided government. I know what that means. That means government shutdowns. It means all these other things. Divided government is the norm. You go back 60 years, we've had divided government 38 of those years. That's kind of where it is at this point, divided government. Now, divided government means in a lot of ways you're not going to get adverse initiatives or pro-initiatives, depending which side of the table you're on. Nobody's now talking about card check legislation. I mean, nobody's now talking about additional legislation in the healthcare, maybe by executive order or maybe by regulation. But the parties balance themselves out on policy. So you've got a deadlock on policy. Hopefully there'll be a few areas where these parties can find their rhythm together and move ahead in a few things that, as a country, we need to do. And the budget battles are going to continue, as I said, until they find their rhythm. Now, we're in a CR right now until April 8th. CRs are the worst things for government contracting. You can talk about everything else going on, but the CRs are the worst because what happens? An agency head, the first thing they're going to do is protect their people, right? How many of you have had some procurement canceled or option year canceled or some? I'm talking to companies that have spent millions of dollars winning a procurement just to see it canceled. And now April 8th, I mean, half the year will be gone if they resolve it at that point. Now, as contractors, do we care? We care if it's a CR. We care if we can't get the contracts out and the government's not functioning. And the innovation, the kind of things that you want to happen, it's the last thing to happen because leaders are afraid to move in their department. They don't know what their budget's going to be for the year. You don't want to get committed contractually. So that's kind of the situation we find themselves in. But government is going to become more cost-driven in terms of as they look to the outside of what to do. You can only beat up on contractors so long before you really find out you need them and you can't function without them. So they're going to be looking at ways that you can offer efficiencies and the like. I think you're going to be looking at different contractual vehicles over the like. I know, Karen, we work with you on a lot of issues, some cooperative purchasing. We looked at the share and savings. I think they're coming back because I think at the end of the day, that's the way government functions. When I was the head of the county government in Fairfax in 1992, before many of you were born, but it was we had an awful budget situation. And that's why they elected me, as things were bad and they try anything. But I got in and I did a lot of share and savings because we didn't have to pay any money on this. We would just pay a percentage of what people were able to save us. And that is, when government doesn't have the money, a great way to go. Executive branch likes this. It's the legislative branch generally that doesn't like this. They are permissible, by the way, under the FAR. It's just the way that they're scored sometimes in multi-years that made it harder. I think you may see an easing up on that. So
we're listening to excerpts of remarks by former Congressman Tom Davis of Virginia. He was speaking to a conference of federal contractors convened by Microsoft.
If you've got an idea in terms of how you can drive savings and efficiencies in government, they're going to be looking for that kind of stuff. And also, so often in government, you identify cost savings here But by the time you try to operationalize it and you go through it and Congress gets involved, you know, it sometimes ends up costing you money. So the ways that you can look to operationalize this and drive it, I think there's going to be a market for that now like we haven't seen before. The government's always talked about this. They've talked about going after waste, fraud, and abuse anomaly detection. I think they're very serious about that. And I think as we look at the way it's going to develop, there are going to be great markets in that, bringing business practices to government. We've seen the administration move away, not DOD as much, but on the civilian side, moving away from these large ERPs. The reason they moved away from them is because so many of them haven't worked. And what they did is they called a group of private sector executives in and said, well, how do you guys do ERPs? They said, well, we don't do large ERP. We do it in small chunks, chewable bites, where we measure the metrics, we get a deliverable we can use, and then we move on from there, and then we don't screw up. And so you're starting to see the administration move toward those kind of things as well. So it's going to, I think, change your game plan on some of these, waiting in for the ultimate. Because what you end up with at the end of the day is the employees down beneath who have to implement this stuff. They say, why didn't you just patch the old system? I don't need all the bells and the whistles and everything new on this. So we'll see. But I think that's still evolving, but it's clearly a change. I didn't really finish up on the CR thing on April 8th in terms of how this plays off, but let me just say, I don't think there will be another short-term CR. You hear the rhetoric out of both parties at this point. They want a deal. Now, they want a deal. They have till April 8th, but next week the presidents in South America and Congress is out of town. And I don't think there's a lot of talking back and forth, but when they get back faced with this deadline, hopefully they'll get something resolved for the year. The reason the administration wants this so badly is if they wait until May, this gets caught up with raising the debt ceiling, which will be a really, really ugly vote. There'll be a lot of maneuvering, and if you get this caught up with the CR, it kind of complicates things for funding for the rest of the year. And of course, the real spending isn't in discretionary domestic spending anyway. It's as I said, it's in these entitlement programs. It's in Medicare, and particularly Medicaid is the two highest. Social Security isn't going to give you any short-term fix, although Social Security this year, for the first time in recent memory, is paying out more money than it's taking in. When I left Congress, this is just 2 years ago, it was generating surpluses. And Congress was able to take those surpluses and, through sleight of hand, spend it on other programs. They put an IOU in the bank, but they were basically, you could use that cash and you could spend it on other things. Now it's a $50 billion deficit and slated to rise almost exponentially. So you need a cash flow fix on this that you probably aren't going to get the way they're likely to fix it. But they can raise the age in the out years. They can start means testing in the out years. They can do some things that have minimal political damage.